Hello and welcome to Holden Village. Today is Monday, June 30th, 2003. Today's session is entitled, What is Spiritual Direction? Session 1 of Transformation for Mission, Healing for Life, presented by Marietta Skinner, number SKM 2003-01. Let's listen in.
Bob, please start the CD. Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is Marietta Skinner, and about 5 weeks ago, a letter came from Holden Village, what I consider to come for 3 weeks for spiritual direction. Well, it was a surprise to receive the letter. I still don't know how they found me in St. Louis. I believe that it's God speaking. Therefore, I responded. And I would just today give you an overview of what spiritual direction can mean. And then if any of you have had experience in a particular area, I would like for you to share that so that it's informal. And in telling you about spiritual direction, here's a chair. There's a chair. In telling you about spiritual direction, I will weave in my story, and also because of my being within spiritual direction, that will, I think, give you an idea of what can happen in spiritual direction. So I want to start with the term spiritual direction. And I want to take the word spiritual and break it down to say that we're all spiritual beings, and what's inside us moves us, shakes us, motivates us, the spirit. So it's the, we can have community spirit, sports, family. That's something that moves us, shakes us, speaks to us. We get into it, we do it. So from my perspective, I'm coming in with spirit, that there's a Holy Spirit, sacred, and that it's in all of us. All of us. And it's just waiting to be touched more and more. You've been touched, but God is always more. There's always more. That's the vastness of who and what God can be. So, spiritual is a way of doing, being, relating, thinking. And I'm coming from the sacred and the holy that is all of you. And since I come out of the Christian tradition, I want to say that our grounding is on the fact that we are sacred and we are holy. Because whether you look at it as a myth or an actual story or happening, in the creation story, God made male and female, looked around, and said, very good. Very good, holy, sacred. And then there's another story where God breathes into the man, the very breath, meaning that this vast creator also has breathed into us, is part of us, and is within us. As you go through, particularly in the Old Testament, with this breath of life, being created very good, you hear the terminology that you're held in the palm of God's hand, that God knew you in the womb and in the silence. So spiritual, in the direction part, has to do with God being in all things at all times. And in spiritual direction, the direction is for you or for whoever's into direction, to not miss that and to find out more and more the God speaking and acting in you. So, I think most of what we know about God, and particularly since many of us follow Jesus, happened before print, happened before we had the word and say, do this, do this, do this. So how did people catch on to this vastness and this goodness of God? It would be through the senses. Okay. Keep in mind, spiritual. We're all spiritual beings. And from the perspective where I'm coming from, we are holy, we are sacred. And it's important that we see ourselves that way and also others. Now the direction part. Okay. My mother really wanted her daughter to have the right direction. After the cows were milked, the chickens fed, the hogs slopped after the milk was separated, breakfast served, dishes washed, beds made, etc. And we were all dressed up because we had a Saturday night bath. She had us in Sunday school and church. I have 13 years of pins that there had something to do with direction, that had to do with God, and my mother wanted me to be included. Okay. Right, wrong, good, bad, black, white. Either or. Okay. That's a direction. But I then got into volunteering during summers with people who were culturally different. In the slums of Chicago, with African Americans, illiterate, coming out of the South. At that time, the Japanese children who were of the Niseis, or those who were taken during World War II in the internment camps, from the West Coast, everything was taken away from them. They couldn't go back. So they hid in cities when the war was over. So my experience was with their children. Then with Hawaiians, Puerto Ricans. And there was direction there that also had to do with God. But it wasn't the kind of discipline that I had. But there was a direction that somehow when you didn't have anything or things were taken away from you, that God was speaking and you could depend on my God. So that becomes another part of direction. But I'm getting into what can be defined as spiritual direction. And in my last year of seminary at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, there was a poster on the board, or a little ad said, would you like to be in the hands of a spiritual director? So I signed up. And I had my first director. And here's where the term takes a different perspective. The director never told me what to do, or how to do it, or what it meant. The director was there, and for the first time in my life, I experienced that I had something inside to say and to find. So direction took a different perspective. And spiritual direction is when somebody is alongside you, non-judgmental, seeing you as you are, listening to you, helping you clarify to get deeper and deeper inside who you are and to find more of the presence of God. What happened, since I again am speaking from the Christian tradition, those rules and regulations, those directions at the beginning, I knew about loving God, the commandment. You know, Jesus said there were two. I knew about loving your neighbor because I got into the different cultures. But with spiritual direction, I got into the other part of the second commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. So for the first time, there was somebody sitting alongside me, looking at me as a sacred, holy person, listening to what I said, and then helping and guiding and weaving. And I discovered spiritual direction, and I liked it. As I went into becoming a pastor, I made a commitment that I would always have a spiritual director as I worked within God's people called the church. So for 7 years, I drove 2 hours from Rome, New York to Albany, New York to have somebody accompany me. Sometimes it takes a while to find a spiritual director. Somebody that you can relate to and you're comfortable with and can trust. But I also got into a certain form of spirituality called the Ignatian. Ignatius of Loyola, Roman Catholic, was a contemporary of Martin Luther. And he believed in his period of time, he was wealthy, he was a soldier. But he believed that if you would direct the most hardened criminal or non-believer for 30 days and walk them into scripture, meaning the Christian scripture, that their life would change. So here came into being another kind of, or another focus on spiritual direction. From having a companion to sitting alongside, accepting, non-judgmental, helping you discover what's inside, articulate it, find it, and name it, God, the good. But with the Ignatian, it was that you could actually take scripture, you could walk into it, you could become one of the characters, you could look at one of the characters, you could talk to them, they could talk back to you, and you would learn something that would fit what was inside you. Actually, I ended up in Guelph, Canada, and I did the 30-day silence, where for 30 days you actually just walked into the scripture. But what happened was another way of getting into the depths was through imaging, through focusing. What's going on? Just not what you hear with your ears, but what's going on with the eyes? What's going on with the nose? What's going on? And what's going on with your feelings? Do you know what it's like when you read the story of Jesus and have the wedding at Cana? Well, you know, he turned water into wine, if you're familiar with that in the tradition. But imagine what it's like if you're at that wedding and Jesus is your companion and he asks you to dance. That you mean enough to the very God of life that the God wants to touch you. So I had the experience of, yeah, I'll dance with you, Jesus. And the only dance I knew was the polka. Actually, we had a really good time. But it also was a healing experience because when I got to the story of Mary of Bethany, where she anoints the feet of Jesus, cries, but she had to pass a room full of men, and they were very, why is she here? You know, women didn't do things like that. But this became a healing experience for me because two of the men that I had to go by in my imagination became a reality because our bodies store up everything that's happened to us. So it became a reality that what was stored up in me was sexual abuse from an uncle. So he was one of those men that saying, you know, she shouldn't be here. And a father who had abandoned me. Okay. But what happened by walking into that in a spiritual directive way was Jesus accepted me and said, leave her alone. She's doing the best that she can. Now, for me to have a God like that really was a healing moment, and it had to do with the use of the imagination, walking into it, but it tapped into the unconscious of something that hadn't been taken care of for years. And that's another part, and can be another part, of spiritual direction. It can go that way. And that opens you up to a lot of surprises and a lot of risks, but it can also open you up to healing, to forgiveness, to repentance, those scriptural kinds of words that you hear a lot, but they become experience and they become part of life. Spiritual direction took on another aspect because a large part of Jesus' life was in suffering. We live with people in the world that suffer, and we have our own sufferings. So in spiritual direction, you can also look at our shadow side, our suffering side, and find the presence of God. I knew when I was a pastor in Michigan that whenever one of the people that happened to be a man that whenever I was in his presence, the very bristles of my hair would bristle. It would just happen. My body was telling me something. So I took it to my spiritual director. What my body was saying and how God was trying to get in was there were things about that man that reminded me of the man who had sexually abused me. The way he breathed, the way he smelled, the way he looked. So here comes a moment with my companion and within God's presence that we could work through, or I could work through, and find the forgiveness and begin to receive the healing that I needed. In my last days of being a pastor, my spiritual director was a very free spirit, a woman from Scotland. And she was important in that you can take suffering, take your shadow side, whatever's there, and be able, in walking with spiritual direction, to say thank you, live within the mystery, maybe not even know the why, but know that the presence of God has been and is with you. So, I will just ask any of you if you've had a companion who really listened to you, that you trusted. Have you had an experience of walking into the situation that you would like to share?
I'll share something. I'm a person that's afraid of conflict. And I never really understood why that was. And through working with someone that does spiritual direction and also a therapist, we found out that, you know, when I was growing up, there was a lot of conflict in my family. And I didn't really realize that, how that affected me. But I was the one that tried to avoid that by being the good boy, you know, to please my parents, to avoid that. And so when I was growing up, it was like my sister and my brother, they took the other way, you know. They really tried to fight the conflict, or fight the direction they were getting. And so, I mean, it really helped me to understand where that comes from. And you know, I can't really change that fear that I have. It's like that shadow side you were talking about. But I know that God is there.
Yeah.
And I can take care of it. I can understand it's there. And I can try and trust God and feel like... You know, he's not going to just let me go.
And hasn't let you go.
Hasn't let me go.
With the shadow side. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I would like to do an exercise with you that is just kind of an experiential thing of having somebody companion you and be with you and as you are, and also that maybe you get the feeling that God is this way too. So would each of you face someone, actually if you would stand up and find a place in the room with somebody and face them, then I will tell you what to do. Trust me.
Okay, Schultz.
I guess if you
have
to get this space,
to have somebody that's comfortable.
You need somebody? Okay.
I can't meet you. Thank you, Shirley.
Okay, this is what I want you to do. I want one of you to decide to be the doer and the other one to be the follower. So just decide who's going to be a doer and who's going to be the follower. Okay, why don't you follow? Okay, where are the doers?
You be a doer.
Where are the followers? Okay, doers, what you're going to do is you're going to do motions, and the follower is going to follow you exactly. So this is like being a companion. You're the one that has a way to express or something to express. So as you express it, then your companion is going to be right alongside you, doing what you do and being that closely with you. Okay, let's try it.
It doesn't have to mean anything. We're just doing.
No, you're just going to do motions. It's just to give you the feeling of what it's like to have somebody with you every step of the way.
So it's like a mirror, right? Mirror image.
It is mirror. Yeah, mirror.
But we don't have to touch each other.
You do not have to touch each
other. I'm with you.
No, you can stand 5 feet apart. Whatever your comfortable space is.
And we've got all our directions.
All right, and then we'll do that for a while. Then I'll say switch. And then you become the one who does the following. To get the understanding, you know, that God does this also. And a very helpful way is through others. Now, we're just doing it with motion. But in spiritual direction, you are actually doing it with yourself, with your words, and with your being. But this is just to get a feel. All right? Give it a try. All right, doers.
You're the doer. You follow.
What you want to do. Is it okay to have fun?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Have a good time. All right, switch.
I've done this with a police officer before. Oops.
Yeah.
missed it.
I can't either.
Okay, stop. All right. What are some things that you noticed?
You want to anticipate, but you really can't.
Okay.
You want to get it right.
A good thing in spiritual direction, when you have a companion, when you have a director, the director doesn't anticipate. Mm-hmm. The director is just there to follow your lead, and you give the clues. All right. What else did you notice?
I thought it was easy. I kept my vision centered and just followed.
Okay. Found it easy? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, it was much easier for me to follow.
Yes.
I was.
Yeah.
Yes. I didn't want to lead. I didn't know what to do when I was going to lead.
Okay.
But I really enjoyed myself more when I was following.
When you were following. Important in spiritual direction as a director, you know, when the person comes in, you know, can they trust? Can they release what's there? And that's all part of the process. It's also the process with God. Anything else?
The greater the complexity, the greater the need to listen up.
Yeah. And be present.
And be present, yeah.
We kept our hands about, because you use inches here, an inch apart. You can really feel the energy happening between the hands, even though we weren't touching. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So is God the follower?
Pardon?
Is God the follower?
Can be.
You can switch roles with God?
I don't know if you're switching roles, but will God follow you and be with you and want to be beside you? Yes. New concept, huh? Not that you're telling God what to do.
Not necessarily. A loving parent that follows a child. I mean, I have a 2-year-old.
That's very good.
There you go.
So this wasn't a new game for you.
In terms of God the follower, yeah, okay, God.
So can you really see God being that dogged with you? And coming after you?
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah.
The mountains of heaven.
Yeah. The only way I could be a leader is if I told myself there's no right way to do it.
Okay. Yeah. And that, in spiritual direction, we didn't never say right or wrong. If the person inside can work it out.
There's an element of surrender as well.
Okay. And a harmony. That was something that struck me too, which is the gift of the harmony.
Can we take a straw poll of which? I mean, she said she liked being a follower better. Can we take a straw poll of?
Sure, go ahead.
I liked being the leader. I didn't like being a follower. It wasn't as comfortable.
All right. Why? Where are the leaders?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. No, I don't think so. No,
yeah,
ask her.
Raise your hand if you
felt more comfortable being a leader. Some of the leaders?
Okay, how about if you're both?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's an option too.
Or you started out, you thought you'd be one, but you really enjoyed the other as much.
Okay, maybe you discovered something about yourself. Mm-hmm. One of the things.
Well, I'd like to know, and this is rhetorical, I'd like to know why you wanted to take a straw vote. It's rhetorical.
Only,
it's
rhetorical. Only because, you know, what she said, she admitted. And I was just, okay, I'll admit that I like being a follower better, so I wondered how many else
So she
decided.
Released you to be what you honestly feel you want to be.
I don't think it was that complex.
But there is something you may discover in spiritual direction is that you do react. And you are like you would rather do one than the other. One of the things I learned, and it may be because of the particular program that trained me, is that all of us, all humanity, has an essence inside that's basically true in who they are. And that essence is part of the particle of God. So when you think of God as being all powerful, or aggressive, you know, then there are people who have that core inside because it's a piece of God. Or if you have people that would rather be like the peaceful ones and not be in conflict, then, you know, you see God if you, as a peacemaker, then you have that peace. And some ancient wisdom that comes out of the Sufi tradition, which is old, is that all of us at our core have a piece of God, our true self. But, you know, in growing up and all that, you build defenses and your personality and you have walls and that. So very few of us really know there. But it's helpful to know what these characteristics are, particularly as a spiritual director, because, you know, I may be directing a very aggressive person, and that's naturally, you know, that's something that comes out, and then that is just helpful in understanding the person.
How important is conscious, intentional prayer to spiritual direction? And by that, I mean, I kind of see in this whole exercise, you're inviting us to do this as kind of a, kind of what prayer would be in this. But, I mean, that's just my observation.
Sure.
And how important
and
is
prayer
it?
Is actively being in the presence of God.
Sure. That's why
speaking
I said conscious
and
intentional.
Yeah. But there's also the unconscious.
Oh, sure.
That can come out.
But how important is the other? In other words, praying before you sit and listen and be with and follow.
Yeah. That's part. You know, it's also part of using what your tradition is. You don't exclude, you know, what you've learned and what you've been taught and what's anchored you and held you steady thus far. That's there. That's a given. This is discovering the more and the possibilities of the more. But in the same time, it can also be a healing, a forgiving, and depending on what God needs to do and what you need. I don't know if that answers your question. Okay, now, one other thing is, in this exercise, one of you is going to start as the doer, but then the other one will start and see if you can just move back and forth. You know, one starts as the doer, and there's a follower, but then the follower becomes the doer, and you don't say anything. You just start leading, and then see if the other person, and then just move back and forth and see if you can interact that way.
See, and I was thinking of Yeah, too much.
No, you just.
I was in the middle of the notes and I went, wait a second. What am I doing?
I found it more relaxing.
Yeah. Okay, anything you'd like to share about the switching back and forth?
It's a lot harder.
Wow. I thought it was easier.
I thought it was easy.
You want to speak to the hardness of what was difficult?
Just when you think you're leaving, you realize you aren't. And there's this shift that you make, that moment of realization, I'm not leaving. Here's somebody else.
Okay.
I found it kind of relaxing, and I said, and I heard him say the same thing, is I got in the middle and went, oh shoot, am I leading or following? I forgot because the transitions were really smooth.
I thought it was kind of playful, because there was that element of surprise when the other person would just take over.
Yeah.
Well, then if you mess up, you can just pretend like you were leading.
I thought that it removed some of the responsibility. You could, about the time you thought, oh, what do I do next? Didn't have to worry about it.
Even though that you were a follower before, you still had to control your following.
Okay. All right.
As here,
being present.
Nobody was in control. Uh-huh. Or there was a lack of it, however you want to look at it.
Your point I'd like to bring out in spiritual direction, you know, the would you say again what you said?
Let me think. it removes some of the responsibility about the time you thought that you didn't know what to do next than someone else.
Because one of the things in spiritual direction is that at the end, if I'm with a person and if I'm really tired at the end, that I haven't let go of the responsibility. I have been trying to do their work. So a checkpoint for me is, have I been able to follow? And you mentioned the energy, and the energy comes from where the spirit working in the other person, then it comes and energizes me. So one of the things at the end is, if I'm really tired, then I realize I didn't let go of the responsibility. I was trying to be the spirit, I was trying to be the God, and I was trying to do the work.
And that's like the father over here. You follow the child, or you're trying to make them do something.
I was going to say, that's parenting.
Make you crazy.
You know, I put out so much energy trying to control behavior and so forth, and when you give that control up, which we're learning with choices, you let that responsibility flow towards them, and it releases your brain.
You know, that's interesting too, because I do counseling, and I never realized that I come out, I work late into the night, and I come home at night so energized. That makes me feel good then, that I must be, oh, cool.
Yeah.
Because I do. I go in there and go, oh, can I go through this again? And I always come home feeling great.
Yeah, because what happens is that the spirit, the other person, you know, then it's like mirroring back to you. So in spiritual direction, the director is also energized and, you know, and grows spiritually.
And then you do have those times you're a wet noodle. Which you know something
else. Or, you know, you sit there and what do I do next? You know, what do I do with what they're saying? Do I go with feeling? Do I go with...
That's
Anything else you would like to ask or to say? Yeah.
I felt it was more intimate than the previous exercise where we were taking turns being leader and follower. There's an intimacy to this.
Well, I thought it was like a dance. A little bit like a dance.
I'm sorry.
Well, the man over there in the corner said he felt like nobody was in charge. Couldn't it be just the reverse, too, that you were both in charge?
Point.
Can two people be in charge at once?
Because you're working together.
Yeah, a team.
Well, then because that other person, when you take the lead, has to let go of that too. I mean, you have to both be in charge in this sense.
charge of letting go. Yeah.
This is so interesting, but I still don't. Can you summarize? What I'm saying? It's too early. Maybe it's not. Maybe you can't exactly.
Well, that was just a nonverbal kind of exercise, in hopes that it would say that in spiritual direction, the person who is companioning you watches very closely to what you're saying, to your nonverbals. And wants to mirror that back, either in words or, you know, I noticed that your face got really, you know, and then with the direction that it's a nonverbal clue that something's going on in the body. So by mirroring in spiritual direction, that's what the director is doing. You're not doing this kind of thing. But the director is watching all the clues that you're giving and wants to feed them back to you so that you will reflect on them. When you reflect on them, then that comes back, you know, to the director to receive, and then it does go back and forth. Is that confusing?
No.
So it was just a nonverbal kind of exercise that kind of gives you the feeling of what goes on verbally or non-verbally between a spiritual director and when you're giving direction. But in that direction, or as a director, it's always that the person that you're companioning is a child of God, a sacred, holy person. Mm-hmm. And what is there is a real privilege to be with. And that in the direction, in a non-judgmental way, to direct, to guide, to companion the person into a deeper and deeper relationship, are catching on as to how God can speak. And there's mystery to it also, but there's a mystery to the shadow side. There's a mystery to the suffering. Things that we really don't know and can't academically or rationally figure out. But there's sense and there's rhyme with the presence of God, and that somehow we get in touch with that. So things happen in spiritual direction that are surprises, and maybe there's even no answer for. But the checkpoint is always that God is good and looking for the goodness, even in the darkness. So, spiritual direction, you're never there. It's never over till it's over. God is always growing within. You're never done. It's a process. It's risk-taking. I mean, God speaks to you with the way you are now and today. But in spiritual direction, it's that there's more can be there for you in healing, in forgiveness, in repentance. And with a companion, it's hoped that will come into being. It's really what God did with Jesus. God became human to teach us how to fully embrace life and to live it, even though it could be messy, insecure, and shaky. A spiritual director will also be with you in the messiness, in the shakiness, and in the security, and be present. Yes. I saw a hand.
Well, I hadn't raised it yet, but you were right. I was thinking of something.
Well, see, now I do that in spiritual direction. I see a nonverbal, and tell me about that.
Yeah. You know, what I was thinking about is in our relationship with God, how does it go? Is it a leading and following? Does it switch back and forth? Or is it God always leading? You know, I felt in my life that I have a hard time not being in control. And so, and I'm trying to allow God to be in control more. And so what is that? I mean, it felt more natural. I had the experience that when we switched back and forth, it felt more natural to me
to
allow that to take place.
Okay.
And so I guess I'm a little puzzled as to how the relationship with God should work.
Well, what vision of God would that give you?
That would be more of a companion God as opposed to a parent God or a...
Can God play that role? Let me take you back to the traditional Genesis view again of creation.
Mm-hmm.
In Genesis 1, God created everything, and it was good. God created the male and female, and it was very good. And then God gives four things for the created very good to do. In our English, I don't think it really gives credit to what God is asking, and I think your point is God is asking for companionship. In the English, it says something like to have dominion, to subdue, well, to have, what is it, to dominion, subdue.
Replenish.
All right. When you get into the Hebrew language, then it begins to shift as to responsibility, our responsibility, our connection with God. Yes, we are to multiply. God really wants, you know, children and wants what God has created to continue. But this subdue and this dominion in that takes on this form. God is asking that what God has created to be blessings to one another. Like when a priest raises a hand in blessing, that those hands can go right around and enfold. Now this is in Hebrew, when you can break it down. God also is asking that when we wound someone, that in medical terms, when you have pus and the infection, you do everything that you can for it to heal. So this subduing has to do with being tender with one another and with God, you know, to remove that. And then the fourth thing that God asks in the companionship is to make life work, to make it work. So I think God, from our tradition and in the Genesis story, does ask for companionship. Even in Genesis 2, which is a different story where he breathes into Adam, the man,
right,
the breath of life, and then, you know, the rib, the woman, the rib. But, listen to this. In Hebrew again, woman is referred to only this helpmate, you know, to be a helpmate. Woman is referred to only as God helps. It's the same Hebrew term. Whenever you read how God helps people in the Old Testament Hebrew, it's the same term as the helpmate, woman. Again, it's the companion. Companion with each other and companionship with God, because God breathed the very breath of life into the human. It comes out of tradition. But I very firmly believe, because I'm an academic person. Most of my life was my head. You know, figure things out, make it right. But now it's like, well, before people were really into their heads, you know, you read the Psalms and the trees were dancing and clapping their hands, and you have all of these, you know, there's one of the lessons or studies is the womb. You know, the womb of God. You have all of these pictures and all of these senses. I think God was coming through senses, and we have lost that. I think spiritual direction is a way to get in touch with something that is lost. So, I am here for 3 weeks, and this class was set up because I don't know how many are Lutherans or what your background is, but it's not really a term that's familiar for many people. So it really was to give you some insights. But let me tell you also that there's a labyrinth. You heard about the labyrinth? It's really where you walk it up the road. And a labyrinth is where you start. And this you can do, you know, by closing your eyes, or you can do, it's like following a path, and you go deeper and deeper and around until you get to the center. So really, it's spiritual direction, is that when you work with somebody, you go deeper and deeper, and you go take all these curves and all these bends to get to the core, and then you work yourself out. So to walk a labyrinth is a way of spiritual direction. If you want to walk sometime, you know, walk that labyrinth and just pay attention to your body feelings, what's going on around you as you work your way to the center. And basically just see what happens. I mean, it can be a very reflective thing, but I'm a very skeptical, I mean, to get into spiritual direction, I'm a very skeptical person. And a labyrinth, I was not going to touch. To me, it was kind of spooky to get in there and run around and around and around. But I decided, well, I've got to give it a try. This was in the training. Well, there were other people in this huge labyrinth, and they were, you know, they were very silently reflecting. Whatever meaning it was for them. But what happened to me was, I wanted them to get out of the way. They were in my way because I wanted to get into the center and find out more about God. And I found myself, once I got to the center and found, wow, you know, God really wants me and loves me, I find myself wanting to run and get out and yell at the end. I didn't, because I didn't want to disturb me. But I was so surprised, because everybody, you know, I thought, I've got to get in here and I got to walk this thing. But I really paid attention to the feelings, and then I found out that it was like a celebration. And it was a surprise. But I could thank God for that.
Where did this idea come from?
The labyrinth, it's old. I have a Walking a Sacred Path, the labyrinth. It's 12th century mystical tool. You find them in some of the older places. If you'd like to read about the labyrinth, I'll leave this here. But it's kind of a rediscover it. It's a form of circle, but there's a meaningful path to a center and back again. And I think where people were into wanting to discover how God to talk could get to us without the brain, you know, that's a fairly recent thing, is rationalization and all of it, was that this was a way that God could enter in more deeply.
There's information about it and how to do it and history out of it.
Right outside the door. That's where this comes from.
Right, I mean,
out of the left.
Okay, but there's also right outside this door here where you can do this. If you want to sit and just trace, you know, a labyrinth and just let your thoughts as you work through, or close your eyes and just work yourself to the center and pay attention to what happens.
Now, when you told this story, you told it from the perspective that you were the only one that wanted to run and wanted to get to the center. Do you think any of those other people felt that way, or did they just appear to be very calm?
I have no idea, because God meets us where we are. And of all the people that were there, they were at different places. It's not something where we sat down later and discussed it, because then I would have found out where they were. But I just know what happened to me. I wanted them out of my way. And I don't think that's really what meditation is. But for me at that time, a lot of things had happened, and I really wanted to celebrate. So I'll tell you one more story. One of the things in spiritual direction, at least from my, we're trained in different ways. I was trained at the Institute for Spiritual Leadership, two blocks from the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, in Hyde Park. And one of the things that they taught is active imagination, where you walk into your unconscious. And in Canada, I was told that God could heal the wounded child. Well, in April, just this past April, I was doing some active imagination, where you go down inside, and then whatever the first image is, and that your companion will lead you to get there. Whatever the first image is, you pay attention to it. And then the person companions you as to what it's saying to you. Well, I did that, and it was a baby chicken. And a baby chick. It didn't make sense. But in the process of unfolding, it made sense. And I'm still very moved because as a child, due to a death, my parents abandoned me. They just didn't know how to cope. I remember praying and shaking the gate, God, send me somebody to love me. And because I had a vision in my mind of what it should be like my father and my mother snuggling me in their arms, I missed what happened and that God had answered the prayer. I found this out 60 years later. The baby chick was God's answer, because in that time of trauma, we would get the baby chickens in the spring. And I would go to the brooder house. It was safe. The baby chickens were not afraid of me. They loved me. They would hop up. I could pick them up. That became a healing moment, because God was speaking back then for me to survive and get through it. But I didn't know it. So there's a lot, everything that has happened to us is buried somewhere, like the bristle hairs on my arms or the baby chick. In the spiritual direction process, we can be helped to get in touch and realize if there was healing or to be healed or forgiveness or repentance. There's mystery to it, but it is indeed something that can be done. Here at Holden Village, there's the opportunity for one-to-one spiritual direction, just to give you a feel. There'll be two small groups offered this week. One is to do the Ignatian walking into Scripture so that it becomes alive. The other is family, spirituality of family. We'll do genealogy work and how your family and God speaks through your family relationships. So each week there will be something offered in a small group to help you better understand what is possible in the spiritual direction. So that's
Thank you. The best I can kind of give
you an insight. The only way I could describe it is it's been a 20-year process for me, you know, to finally be trained. But I trusted my spiritual directors, and they certainly gave me lots of room for God to be present in my life. Okay, thank you very much.